Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, welcome to a brand new Arseblog Arsecast right here on arseblog.com. How are you? Hope you're well. Thank you for being here as ever. Hope you're in good form, despite the fact that this football team and this football club continue to punch us in our bits, the sensitive bits, the bits that really hurt. You know the bits I'm talking about. They're just like, bah, 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 punching us in them. And we're like, just stop. Or at least tell me why it is you're punching me in the private, really sensitive bits. Why are you doing this? What's happening? Just to give me an explanation. I'm not going to say I like it, but, you know, just tell me why you're doing it. And they say nothing. They just continue to boom, 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 punch us where it really hurts. So despite that, I hope you're all right. Now, if you listen to the Arsecast Extra on Tuesday, it was on Tuesday this week because, of course, we played on Monday. You'll remember Monday. Remember that cracking game on Monday? That's right. Traveled to Selhurst Park to face a Sam Allardyce side. Sam Allardyce, Crystal Palace. And we know what happened. We don't need to go over what happened and how it all happened and why it happened and everything else. You know, but if you did listen to the Arsecast Extra on Tuesday, God, I forgot that. Within an instant, I think there's something wrong with my brain. Anyway, you'll know that James and I discussed pretty much everything that happened during the game, after the game. We discussed the manager and his situation and Stan Kroenke and Ivan Gazidis and the board and their spineless, cowardly ways, still not saying a single word about what's happened. And pretty much the whole club has gone into media lockdown this week. There hasn't been another word said about anything. Nothing. We don't know any more than we knew before we went into the Crystal Palace game. So I was thinking, what the fuck are we going to do with this podcast? Why, how, what, where, when, etc. The great questions of journalism. Who, as well, is in there? That's one of the questions of journalism. But, you know, it was like, well, what can we say that hasn't already been said? What can we do that hasn't already been done? It's not like there was something in the newspapers this week or information that we could take and continue to speculate over, because ultimately that's all we're doing. Maybe there was a little bit from Ivan Gazidis, a little bit of leaky stuff, some more war chest. Oh my goodness, 200 million. The 200 million Arsene Wenger war chest that we have got at our disposal this summer. Nobody saw that coming, but of course, people will look at stories like that and think, come on, seriously, just stop. 200 million pounds, that's the war chest. Ivan Gazidis talking to the Telegraph, or somebody talking to the Telegraph anyway, to say that despite the fact people think that Stan Kroenke doesn't care, he really does care. He's in constant communication over what's going on. He's very, very interested in all the things that are going on at Arsenal. What's the name of the football club? Arsenal. Arsenal. Yes, he's very interested. He's taking a very keen interest in what's going on. He's watching with his great sporting footballing eye from afar, from wherever it is, in the Rocky Mountains. Is he in Colorado? Is he in Missouri? Is he on his Texas ranch? The Texas ranch that he's evicting people from, because it's only 750 million acres and there's some people living on the edge of it near a lake where they've lived for 500 years, their entire family, and he's, you know, kicking them out to go live under a bridge. But no, he's very, very, very interested in what's going on at Arsenal. But apart from that, you know, nothing much has happened this week. And what has happened, that stuff I've been talking about, is all a big Load of old bollocks anyway. You don't need to have a master's degree from Oxford in bollocksology to know that that is some of the biggest load of bollocks that any of us have ever heard. And I was thinking, well, look, I just can't do it. I can't do another podcast where I talk to somebody in earnest about the things that are going on, because nobody can provide more insight. Nobody has got anything different. There's nothing. We're all just speculating. And I was like, okay. So what we did, what I'm doing, what I have done, is a little bit of a phone-in show where we opened up the Skype line, we opened up the phone line, and people rang in and they could decide what it was they were going to talk about, and they did. They talked about various things to do with the football club, and, you know, it was varied. That's what I'm going to say. It's a varied conversation, or a number of varied conversations, with people from all over the world, from Australia to America, from Nigeria to Aberdeen. I have never been to Aberdeen. That was a completely accidental rhyme there. I am not freestyling off the top of my dome. It's not what I'm about, really. You know, my raps they're private, essentially. I'm not gonna share them with anyone. But look, we're here, we're facing a weekend without Arsenal, so I couldn't not do a podcast, so we've done this podcast, and I think we should just get on with it. So thank you, as ever, for being here, and let's open up the phone lines to Arsenal fans from all over the world.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
Hi. This is Howard, calling from London.
Hey, Howard from London, how are you?
I'm brilliant, yeah. Quite shocked to get through straight away. That's pretty impressive.
You're the first, so you're quick off the draw there, so well done.
Excellent, that means my question isn't a repeat of somebody else's. That's a good thing.
True. So what's the question?
I'm just wondering, can Jack Wilshere be the new Santi Cazorla? Can we bring him back and have him as a little left-footed Santi Cazorla sort of playmaker, or do you think we need to look elsewhere for that?
Can he be the new Santi Cazorla? No, I don't think so, because I think the thing that stands out to me about Santi Cazorla is just how two-footed he is. You know, he's so amazing with both feet, and Jack is very much one-footed. He's a left-footed player, and he can't play the same way as Santi Cazorla. You know, he strikes me as a guy, Wilshere, who we miss at times, because you obviously watched the Palace game, I'm sure.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it struck me at times that as we passed the ball around and around and around and around, we missed a player like Jack Wilshere and like Rosicki, who just had that little bit of penetration, the ability to get between the lines, the defensive setup of the opposition, you know, who'd burst forward with a bit of a dribble or a bit of pace. And I think that's what Jack Wilshere could do more than dictate play the way that Santi Cazorla does, you know. Now, whether he comes back and stays fit, I'm not sure. He stayed fit at Bournemouth, but his form hasn't been particularly good, so we'll have to wait and see what happens in the summer. Like everything else, I think he will come back, yeah, but whether he stays is another question that I'm not quite sure of, because you know, well, it's hard to be sure of anything that's going to happen this summer. But you know, with just 12 months left on his contract, they've got to act quickly. I think we'll know relatively early in the summer if he's going to stay. I think that if he is going to stay, they'll offer him a new deal probably very close to the end of the season, if not just when the season has ended. And if that doesn't happen, then I think that will be a sign we'd be prepared to let him go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, since Thomas Rosicki left, we definitely needed that player to drive the midfield forward a bit. So if he can do that, then I'll be happy with that, I think.
All right. Well, listen, Howard from London, thank you very much for being the first caller.
No, thanks for having me on your show. Appreciate
not at
it.
All. Not at all. All right, what we're going to do, I'm going to take another one now, if I can do that.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you. Hello there.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you? Who's this?
I'm good. This is Danny from North Carolina.
Hey, Danny from North Carolina. How's it going out there?
Oh, I can't complain, besides our ridiculous government not letting people pee in bathrooms, but it's all right.
Peeing in bathrooms should be a fundamental human right, if you ask me, but there you go.
I'm with you on that one.
So what do you want to chat about today?
Oh, I got two ideas. Do you want a serious Arsenal question or a silly fun Arsenal question?
Let's do both of them, but let's do them relatively quickly, so because we'll try get through as many calls as possible. So let's do the serious one first.
Sounds great. I was thinking about this. We've had all these discussions about strikers at Arsenal, and we always want to sign a new striker every summer. But I was wondering if maybe our efforts would be better suited to actually signing a real winger, because we seem to always play midfielders and wingers. And I've wondered what you thought about that. I think that Ramsey wide, we play Wobi wide, all these players, Ox, that have their future in the midfield, and yet we play them wide.
That is a really good that's a really good question. I think if you could find a really good winger, that would be a fantastic idea. It's trying to find exactly who that is, because you think of someone like Robert Pires, who you wouldn't put down as traditionally a winger as such in the sense that I think you're talking about, but is somebody who is really effective out there. So I think it's about finding somebody who's super effective and can provide and who can score goals from wide positions. I mean, the thing about it is, you look at Theo Walcott, he's got 19 goals this season. Right. And if you were to spend X amount of money on a player who scored 19 goals this season, you'd say you've got like good return on your money. But when it's Theo Walcott, because we have this weight of history with Theo and everything else, you're kind of going, well, you know, we could still do with a bit of an upgrade there. But yeah, I think it's an area that we could seriously improve on, particularly in terms of getting service into the strikers and also, you know, players who are willing to take other players on rather than just go backwards with the right. next pass, you know.
Yeah, and I seem to think it would probably help us with our width issue too. We have all these players that want to work back inside, and I think you know, we have Theo, who will kind of play off the shoulder, but he's not really going to provide consistent width because he still has a tendency to work inside as well.
Sure, sure. Okay, well, let's have the silly question then, seeing as we're here.
All right, if you could put one superhero on Arsenal, who is it?
Superman.
That's an easy one. Come on.
It is an easy one, because all the others would probably get disqualified, because Hulk would be bashing people, and Thor would hit people with his hammer, and Spider-Man would be shooting webs on people and getting sent off, whereas Superman is just really quick, really strong.
But the laser eyes could be a liability.
Well, you know, you'd have to tell him to rein those tendencies in, I think. But yeah, it just strikes me Superman would probably be the best. Or you know, if you're playing a goalkeeper, the stretch guy from the Fantastic Four, he could be quite good.
I like where your head's at on that one. That's a good one.
All right. Well, listen, thanks, Danny from North Carolina. We're going to take another call. Enjoy weeing wherever it is you can wee out there.
Thank you. Have a good one. Keep up the good work.
Too,
thank you.
Cheers. Hello.
Hi, is this Andrew?
It is. Hi, who's this?
This is Brad. I'm in South Korea at the moment. It's 1 o'clock, I think.
Wow. Wow. You're up late. Having fun?
Yes. Yeah. All good. Minus football related, but yes, all good.
Okay. Well, you know, are we going to talk about football?
I mean, do you want to talk about football?
Listen, I'm here to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about, Brad.
Something that I've had on my mind for quite a while, Andrew, just relating to wages. Let's say we lose Sanchez, we lose Ozil, because they want too much, at least according to Wenger. Isn't that just a circle that kind of screws itself over, because then we have to try replace them with someone almost to that quality, but they wouldn't be coming to us for less wages if you have a team like PSG or even Everton, let's say, in the future, offering them 50,000 more?
Mm. You know, I think it's probably one of the most difficult things that managers have to deal with is the wages issue, because I don't know if you saw the story that was out today, and I'm not sure how.
Yeah, it's about 300,000.
Yeah, 300,000. So immediately you offer Alexis Sanchez 300,000. So that tells everybody that you're prepared to pay that kind of a wage to that kind of a player. But what it also does is it skews everything else. So a guy, let's say, who might consider himself not quite as good as Sanchez or quite as important as Sanchez, but pretty close. Let's say Sanchez is earning 140 grand now and he's earning 100 grand now. He can live with that, I think. But what he can't live with is Sanchez on 300 grand and him still on 100 grand. That's where it becomes a big issue, I think, for football clubs. And I'm not sure whether that's true about Sanchez. But, you know, the thing about it is you also have to factor in the transfer fee as well. If you let Sanchez and Ozil go, you've got to pay a transfer fee, signing on fee, agents fees, bonus fees, all these kind of things you've got to pay to get a new player in. And that's where I think it becomes quite complicated for clubs, is trying to balance that against what it means to the rest of the squad if you offer those really high wages.
Of course. At the same time, who do you think isn't worth the wages that they're currently supposedly on?
Well, that's a good question. In the current market, you know, you could probably say that players are not getting as much as they should, some of them. And I don't know exactly how much each player is getting, to be honest, but, you know, it's Arsenal pay well, but we don't pay the biggest wages in the Premier League. You know, there are players on much more. You know, Manchester United, like whatever Zlatan is on at Manchester United is a ridiculous amount of money because he came on a free transfer. But, you know, he's scored the goals and he's got the history to say that perhaps that's what he should be paid. So, you know, it's difficult to say who's not worth it. You know, the guy who's playing poorly this week or this month is not worth it. You know, next month if he scores 5 goals, he probably is, you know. Yeah. So it all balances out in the great cosmic wage scheme.
Just wanted to know, do you think, I mean, let's say it's seeming a little bit daunting, but if we don't make it into Europe, then you'll have players such as, let's say, Bellerin even coming and saying, well, you know, pay me up a little bit more, otherwise I might look into Barcelona. Or you have people like, I don't know, Jack Wilshere or someone, Ramsey even, for all we know, who might use it as a little bit of a marketing tool for their wages.
Maybe so. You know, I get like why European football is really important to players, because the prestige of playing in the Champions League, that's what they want. And, you know, and everything else. My feeling on that, though, would be this season that, despite the fact that we point fingers at the manager and the owner and everything else that's going on, the players too have a responsibility for the way this season has gone. And if they're not in Europe next season, maybe you could say to them, you know, you've got to play your part in getting us back there, because you were in some ways responsible for us falling out of that. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. What I would worry about is that, A, players like Ozil and Sanchez, that might be the thing that makes them really want to leave, and also it makes it more difficult to attract the players that you want to attract. If you really need to attract top-class players and you don't have Champions League football, it becomes a little bit more difficult, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, listen, good to talk to you, Brad, out in South Korea.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right, take it easy, man.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Did I get through?
You did. Hi. Who's this?
Holy shit.
Holy shit, man.
My name's Daniel Hunter.
Hey, Daniel Hunter. Where are you calling from?
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. That's miles from here.
It sure is.
How are you doing today?
I'm still in disbelief that I got through.
That's okay.
Yeah, I literally just have only been up for about a half hour and got on my phone, you know, as your normal person does, and saw that you were doing this on Twitter, and I was like, fuck it, might as well, I'll give it a call.
Fuck it, why not? Exactly. You only live once, you know, what could be more exciting than talking to a random Irishman about football?
I feel like I'm on the pod right now. Jesus.
Well, you're not yet, but you will be tomorrow. Well, provided, you know, the level of this conversation gets a little bit better. So what do you want to talk about?
fuck, Arsenal?
Yeah.
I can't think of anything at this moment. I didn't.
You were just ringing. Sorry? To see if you could get through.
Yeah, I didn't even think I would get through, honestly.
You haven't given this enough thought.
No, I haven't. I think the biggest thing right now that I could think of is I didn't get to see the West Ham game.
You didn't get to see it?
No, I was telling this to my brother that getting to see the West Ham game was just kind of like, for everyone else, you get to have that moment of, you know, basking in the sun again that we won.
Mm.
And I didn't get that because I had to work.
You had to work. What do you do for a living?
Yeah, I'm a server and just, you know, do your average job. But
Sure.
Well, we had the game on and everything, and I got to see that we were winning, which was great, but didn't actually get to watch any of the game. And then, I mean, I might watch a game occasionally after it's all taken place, but sure. I mean, once you see the highlights, kind of what's the point sometimes?
Yeah, well, look, let me tell you, man, the glow didn't last very long.
Well, that is for damn certain.
It really
yeah,
is.
After the, holy shit, that Palace game.
Yeah, it wasn't
I mean,
great,
and
we
wake up for games here at any time. Like, I'll get up at 4 occasionally, and the first thing you do is either break out a beer for the state of things or coffee.
Sure, sure.
But, Jesus, Palace was, holy shit, man, that was...
I bet you wish you had to work for that one.
I did. I did. I wish I hadn't got up. I told, I think it was the West Brom game. It was either Palace or West Brom, but I told my brother will wake up, but he's not as much of a morning person.
Right.
And I just told him, I was like, dude, go back to bed. Go back to bed. You're going to be angry. It'll be a bad day for you. Just go.
And did he?
He did. He did. He listened.
That's good. And, that's some good brothering right there.
Yeah. I mean, there was a little bit of the hope with the City game and then the West Ham, obviously, but it was just like, I think, at least because I've only been really paying attention since about 2011, 2012. Like, right. I was an Arsenal fan right when it all started, you know, like, with for me, at least with the Invincibles. And so I got to see just that last little bit. And then it's kind of like been highs and lows.
It's like getting some really, really good drugs. And then everything else has been just not quite anywhere near as good. And they're getting worse. Now it's just basically ground up flour and stuff, you know. But anyway, listen, I'm going to go and take another call. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for being so well prepared as well. I appreciate that.
Next time I'll make the assumption I get through and actually have something more to talk about, I promise.
All right, man. Listen, take it easy. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. I'll try again.
All right, cheers.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
Hello, Andrew.
Yes, hello. Who's this?
My name is Mark. How's it going? I'm here in California.
Hey, Mark. We're getting people from all over the USA. We've had Portland, we've had North Carolina, and now California. So,
You know, I really liked seeing your post this morning about Cranky being in trouble. I just read that article last night.
What's your take on him?
You know, you've been pretty spot on with it. You know, it's an investment for him, and he's making good money out of it, so he doesn't see a problem with it. But I think for people who support the football club, it's clearly not what they have in mind.
Yeah, go on.
But I'm thrilled to be on with you. I've been listening to your stuff for a long time. You know, you have big support out here in the U.S.
Oh, great. Well, we've been out there a few times, and it's always been fantastic. We've always had good fun out there, I have to say.
You know, the other day you had a question about the British core of the team. And obviously, you know, when those contracts were signed years ago, there was hope that they would be the core of the team. You know, obviously with Wilshire out on loan and some of those players not having panned out, it doesn't really seem like a British core. But I actually have a French background myself. And I actually feel like when we were strongest, we actually had a good French core to the team. You know, the Invincibles, obviously, with Henri and Pires and Vieira and Viltord and even 5-6 years ago, you know, maybe not the same caliber player, but, you know, we had Sanya, you know, we had Nasri, although we don't like him too much anymore, you know, sure. Gallas, Diaby, Clichy, you know, we had a few, and these days it seems like we have a little bit less of that French core. You know, obviously Kessiani is a big mainstay in the squad, and Giroud hasn't gotten as many minutes as he has in the past, and we've got Coughlin, but you know, those numbers have kind of gone down. And if you look at, you know, the players in the French national team are still quite strong. And I think that might be something that has caused us some trouble. You know, if we had maintained a strong French core, you know, there was talk of us getting, you know, that guy Sidibe who went to Monaco. You know, obviously we were in for Conte this summer. You know, there's been a lot of Griezmann talk. You know, we've seen Pogba go to Man United. But, you know, British football is what it is, but I think the English Premier League is great because of the foreign players that are there.
Yeah.
And if anything, when I look at the Arsenal squad, it seems like if we had maintained more of that French core to our team, maybe that's what made the squad a little more special, and that's some of the attributes that we're lacking.
Yeah, you know, what I think it was in the very early stages, obviously the first part of Arsene Wenger's reign, he knew France much better than anybody else in the Premier League. He had this amazing knowledge of the French league, of the young players that were playing, not just at, you know, Monaco and the club that he managed, but across the league. So he knew who was doing what. He was able to attract these players. Like someone like Vieira, when he came in, not many people knew who the hell Patrick Vieira was, but all of a sudden you had this colossus of talent there. And even, you know, recently I did a thing with Robert Pires. an event with him, and at the time he had the choice to go to it was between Arsenal, Real Madrid, and I think he said either Juventus or Roma. And the reason that he chose Arsenal was A, because of Arsene Wenger, because he the reputation that he had at the time, but also because the fact Thierry Henry was there, because Patrick Vieira was there, because there had been such a French connection with the Arsenal side. And now I think that that advantage is gone because Arsene Wenger is not the only person who knows the French league very well. There are others who have sent their scouts out there, and scouting networks have improved, and so our little advantage in that area is gone, and unfortunately the best French players aren't at Arsenal anymore, so
a great point, actually.
You could have a point
it
there.
It seemed like France was somewhere where he had an edge, and these days France is really a development point for a lot of the big clubs across Europe.
That's
a good point. Well, thank you again for having me on. You know, it's a pleasure listening to you, and even in these tough times You help put things in perspective. So thanks a lot for having me on, Andrew.
All right. My pleasure, Mark. Take it easy, man.
Cheers.
Thank you. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hello. How are you?
Sorry, man. I really wasn't expecting you to answer.
Oh, that's okay. Who am I talking to?
My name is Khosai. I'm from Jordan.
From Jordan. Hey, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Excellent.
How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. I'm okay. What do you want to talk about today?
Not too sure. I was going to ask you I know you really don't want to talk about Arsenal too much, but
no, we can, of course.
Do you really think there's a possibility that we finish in the top four this season, or do you think it's completely gone by now?
I think that it's going to be really, really difficult. It's not gone because we still have enough games and there's enough points left to win to get ourselves into the top four, but I think we're depending on our own form to pick up, and we're also depending on the form of other clubs to dwindle, to fall off. And the way we're playing at this moment, it's very difficult for me to see us finishing in the top four, which is is going to be a new experience
for
a lot of people who've been used to seeing Arsenal finish in the top four year after year after year.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because I was listening to the Arscast yesterday, the Arscast Extra.
Yeah.
When you were talking about when someone asked you about what is the club, and I thought recently, especially since, 2006 or something, which is how long I've been a fan, because I'm only 20, so I've never really experienced anything other than Wenger.
Sure.
You know, so that's part of why we would kind of assume the club, you know?
Yeah.
It's always finishing in the top four. You're always going to guarantee the season on the team that off, and we were going to finish behind Spurs. There was always a bit of that kind of little dying light that was giving you the impression that we might just do it and we might just finish above, but it doesn't really feel like it this year.
It doesn't feel like it. Unfortunately, your line is getting a bit jumbled. I couldn't really hear you there towards the end, so I'm going to go
again.
Not a problem, but listen, thank you for calling, and let's keep fingers crossed. Maybe a miracle will happen.
All right, see you.
Cheers. Hello?
Hello? Hello, Andrew.
Yes. Hey, hi. How are you?
Not bad. I'm a big fan. Big fan of the Arscast.
Great. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Ewan from Aberdeen.
Ewan from Aberdeen.
Yes. So I was just liking to speak about Monday night, you know, and the players got a lot of stick. Especially that Mesut Ozil and Sanchez. And I mean, I feel like you can't really criticise them fully, because at least they were trying to get into the game. You know, they were dropping deep. It's not the ideal position for them to be in, but you know, they're trying to get on the ball. And you compare that to the performance of, you know, Theo Walcott, who quite frankly is a ghost. And he's been a ghost for the most of the season, apart from a couple of home games, you know. And I just think you can't give the captain's armband to someone like that, who just doesn't turn up. And then he comes out in the post-match interview and he just sort of protects himself, really.
Yeah.
He comes out with sort of nonsense excuses.
No, I mean, look, I'd agree. I don't think Theo Walcott is a captain. I don't think he's that kind of a player. I don't think he's much of a talker on the pitch. I don't think he's one of those guys who leads by example. And what he said, I think, frankly, was ludicrous, to say that they knew that the other team wanted it more. I'm not even sure he meant that. I just think he's just so jumbled up with useless sound bites that was something he said that he thought fans wanted to hear.
A default
media training thing. But, you know, in terms of the players getting some stick,
I mean, 100% it was deserved. Like, but I mean, you know, the players that are getting the brunt of it are ones that, you know, trying to get on the ball, trying to make passes happen. You know, Xhaka had a poor game, but he's still trying to play balls over the top, you know. But,
yeah,
Walcott.
I don't really think it was aimed at one player in particular, you know. And I think the other thing is that fans have made their feelings known about the manager for a while. They've had protests, they've had demonstrations, they've sang songs about Kroenke, they've sang songs about Ivan Gazidis. And what's happened is that nobody at the club has paid any attention to that. Nobody has really addressed the concerns that fans have with the manager, with the board, with what's going on, with this terrible situation that's going on at the club right now. And I know it's all relative, but, you know, in real terms, from an Arsenal context, it's as bad as it's been for a really long time, decades. It hasn't been this bad. And what I think is that the players are the kind of the last option available, and they're close. They're right there. They're only yards away, whereas you don't have access to Ivan Gazidis, you don't have access to Stan Kroenke. Arsene Wenger's sitting in the touchline on the far side of the pitch, you know, from the away fans. So you don't really have that access. So I think that's probably a part of it, was fans just not knowing who else they can make their point to, you know?
Yeah, I guess you'd say, like, in the past weeks and months, it starts off with fans chanting that Wenger, And then it goes on to the board and Gazidis and Kroenke. And yeah, I totally agree. Like, the abusing, or not abusing to say, but chanting at the players is probably the last resort for a lot of fans.
Mm. Yeah, I think so. And it's a shame when it comes to that, because when the relationship between, you know, the fans and the players, not just a single player, is under threat or is breaking down, that's a really bad thing for any football team and for any football club. So We'll have to see. Anyway, listen, thanks a million for your call.
Thanks for having me on, and have a good day.
You too, man. Take it easy.
Cheers.
All right, we're going to take a very short break here right in the middle of the podcast. We'll be back with more calls right after this.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with, thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/arsblog. Hello?
Oh, I got through. It's like phoning Joe Duffy. Andrew, Peter.
Oh, Peter Donegan, how are you?
I'm fantastic, my man.
So tell me, what's on your mind today?
There's a couple of things, Andrew, to be quite fair. I'll start with the more serious matters that are the ones that seem to come up over and over again, which is like watching an episode of Bridget Jones' Diaries meets EastEnders, and that is the Wenger in Out Brigade. And to be fair, after our most recent performance, the controversy of should or shouldn't we hold on to Ozil and Sanchez, to be honest with you, I would have done a Roy Keane and left them all off the team bus in hindsight. That's the first thing.
Right.
I'll discuss this with you further. The second thing is, where is the truck gone from James's phone calls? And third of all, and finally, I wrote to Dave O'Leary when I was 7 years of age. I wrote to him again when I was 32, and I have not ever heard from him in return.
Okay, well, let me address those things in reverse order. In reverse order. Your unanswered missives to David O'Leary. My feeling is that he was so taken with the eloquence and heartfelt nature of your communication that he has yet to find it within himself to respond to that in an appropriate way. He's thinking, I don't have the linguistic or written skills to give back to this man or this young man who was 7 and is now 32 and is now older than that again. He doesn't have the ability. That's it. I think you may have to give up on that one because I don't think he will ever be able to give you what you want. James's lorry, I'm afraid that's gone. That was a different street in London. So we are looking for a replacement, perhaps a truck, a van, or given the way that things are going at this moment in time, we might take one of those three-wheeled vehicles that they drive in Only Fools and Horses. That's where we're going with that. But we're having auditions.
Right.
As for Arsene Wenger, Mesut Ozil, Alexis Sanchez, I wish I could provide you with as much clarity on that as I have done with the other two questions that you have. I don't know what is going to happen, why it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, or anything else. I just don't. Nobody does.
Let me put this to you because I've heard over the last few episodes, and to your credit, I understand where it comes from, and I understand and I appreciate where the fans' part comes from, in that, you know, like you said, it's people going to a Sunday game. It's a little bit more, or what was a Sunday or Saturday game. Mm. It's a little bit more than just a sport. And I heard the discussion that you had, Paul Pogba from Ken Early. He's a really good one a couple of weeks ago where he was talking about Pogba and what he does on the pitch and all of this kind of malarkey, if we might call it that for a minute. But in credit, or to be fair, I did look at Arsenal losing 3-0, and I know we lost the game, and as lifelong Arsenal fans, you're entitled to take a little bit to heart and maybe say you're not fit to wear the shirt, etc. But to me, I looked at 11, 10 players, as you rightly said, Emi Martinez maybe deserves a little bit more than what the rest of the players kind of got, which is that he was left on his own. But surely to God, we're at a point where you have to turn around and go, based on that, 10 grown men, basically, fans chant in mind, you're not fit to wear the shirt, should stand up and be counted. And I guess in that as well, is there a point where we fall into a little bit of a what happened with Leicester? You noted it previously, which was the Mourinho thing of they just didn't turn up. I understand they may have fallen out a little bit of love with the manager. Maybe we don't know that. But is there a case where you do have to turn around, kick yourself up the backside and say, number one, we're grown men. We should take our out of our trousers and we should play like that. Mm. And number two, are we at the point where we're missing that, what I referred to midweek, which was a Roy Keane, a Patrick Vieira, a Tony Adams. I mean, I remember watching Liam Brady playing in a game, I think it was against Hungary, and he punched some other player in the stomach walking backwards up the pitch, pre the days of you could be punished retrospectively, yeah. Let's call it that. But in hindsight, it struck me that we're kind of missing a man or a person or an individual to turn around and say, like, come on, like, come sure. on, like, if you don't do it, I'm gonna larrup you verbally or otherwise. Are we at that point and leaving Arsene Wenger slightly out of it?
Yeah, well, maybe. I'm going to make this very brief because I've got to take more calls, but yeah, sure. We are missing those kind of characters, I think. But the thing about a Tony Adams, a Patrick Vieira, a Roy Keane, players like that and captains like that and leaders like that is that they're rare. The reason they stand out to us is because they are not ten a penny. And I think if every team could have one of those players, they would have. They would have them week in, week out, but they're not easy to find. Now, that's not to say that those players shouldn't take more responsibility and shouldn't have a bit more character and fight about them. I'm not saying that. I just mean, in general terms, those kind of players are hard to find. But, Peter, I'm gonna let you go, and I'm going to take another call here. Good to talk to you again. I hope you hear from David O'Leary soon.
Fingers crossed, my man. Best luck to yourself and James, and well done on the show.
All right, man.
Chat soon, son. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello.
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 Andrew.
Yes.
All right. It doesn't sound like you, sounds like Arseblog.
Yeah, you know that, cunt.
Yeah. I'm the guy who you found out where Burger King was. It's in Lincolnshire, by the way. But,
oh, hey. What's your name?
It's Stuart, mate.
All right. So
and
you're...
I'm sat with the pug. yeah. Basically, what I want to ask is, if he signs up for another 2 years, does that not mean that he is not putting the best interest of the club and the players at heart, and he's just a selfish old man who is afraid that someone else will come in and do a better job for him, you know, like a little child lays on all its toys, doesn't want to share? Do you think that's his situation? Is if he goes and someone does better, he'll lose the sort of like aura that's been created about him?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know really how he can look at this and think that the best thing for the football club or the best thing for him, even as a manager, as a person, is to stay on another 2 years. My feeling is that he perhaps feels responsible for the fact that it's going badly and feels like he wants to fix it maybe, or doesn't want to leave it in a bad way. You know, that, okay, look, this season has not been good and it's not gone well, but, you know, give me a chance to fix this. That's kind of where my thinking is, because, you know, you know the way they are a bit, what's the word I'm looking for?
Shite.
That's one good word, but I just mean that in football terms, sometimes managers and players, they can live in sort of a bubble, right, where they don't necessarily understand the depth of feeling. And I do wonder if Arsene Wenger sometimes doesn't quite realize how many people would like to see a change of manager at this point. Because remember the other week, the protesters outside the training ground, the guy dressed up as Alexis Sanchez and everything else, and Arsene Wenger said something about, well, last week there was three guys here protesting outside, but when I went somewhere there was 10 people who were really positive. And you're thinking, where the fuck did you go? You know, where? So
probably you went to Tottenham, I should think. The way he plays football, it's like, I don't know, it's like thumbing in a slacky. It's when you've had too much to drink and you're trying to sort of like get passionate with the other half, and they just hit a wall of, I just keep prodding and prodding and prodding, and then nothing, you know. And Alexis looks broken. I think Ozil and Alexis are a lot better than they're making out. I think it's him that's ruining the players. I don't think they're all crap.
No, I
think even Kieran Gibbs is a good player.
I think you're completely right, because, you know, you look at what happened with Chelsea when they decided to down tools under Mourinho. It's the same squad plus Kante that's walking away with the league. So it's. Yeah. I don't think it's the players. And, you know, as something even Wenger said himself, he said these are the same players that went 19 games unbeaten in the first half of this season. Like, in the first half of this season, maybe people have forgotten, but I think there was almost a genuine optimism that something might happen, because you looked at the squad, it looked full, we'd spent money in the summer, we seemed to have addressed the various issues that we had almost too many strikers for once, we'd centre halves, we'd midfielders all over the place, and we went on 19 game unbeaten run, and people thought, wow, okay. And now it's turned completely. So I don't think that these are really crap players. I don't think that the players are doing themselves justice. And I also think that for Arsene Wenger to say that the uncertainty around his future isn't playing a part, I think it's completely wrong as well. I think it's very obvious that it is.
I mean, I don't know if they've actually downed tools, but
I don't think they hear
the same crap every week.
Yeah.
You know, when you've got someone like Steve Bould, who wasn't a bad defender, not being allowed to do the job, you know, I mean, George used to drill them. That's what you need to do. You need to be drilling the players. And they're not a bad bunch of lads. It's just something is inherently wrong with the team. And I think, basically, it's him.
Mm. I think you're right.
And I don't know about Stan. I mean, if he turned around and thought for a minute, the better Arsenal do, the more money he'll make. Because he's only in it for the money.
Somebody sent me something yesterday, and it summed up Kroenke really well. Let me see if I can find it here. This is it. He's James Vincent McMorrow, the singer, and he said to me that he's a big fan of US sports, and he said he watches a lot of Kroenke's teams, and this is a great point. He said the teams are never good enough to be really really successful, but also never too bad to lose the ticket sales. And I think that's the existence that Kroenke thinks he has at Arsenal, and as long as that continues, he won't be minded to change very much.
No, of course he won't, because obviously, think about it, all he's got to do is think, okay, people won't be needing the season tickets, but I'll have people coming from the States, coming from Japan. That's where the money is. He does not care about the club. He doesn't care about the players. He doesn't care about the fans.
Yeah, he doesn't.
But, you know, anyway, so it's a sad indictment of the modern age where money talks.
I think
Alexis has decided to go, which is why, instead of playing into the middle, he's stuck him out on the left.
We'll see. But look, I'm going to go take another call. Thanks a million.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
Hope you get your burger situation sorted.
Oh, well, they've opened them on in town in the old football ground. So. Right, mate, cheers.
Take it easy. Bye-bye. Hello.
Oh, hello. How
are
you going?
How are you? Who's this?
This is Troy.
Hello, Troy. Where are you?
I'm in Australia.
Yes. I kind of figured that, Ben. Which part?
It's the accent, or lack of accent, that gives it away.
Oh, it's the completely neutral accent. It can only be as neutral as that in Australia.
Exactly.
Must be late there, no?
Yeah, it is, actually. It's actually, I think it's, half past one in the morning.
And what are you doing up so late?
Well, I actually saw your thing on Twitter about that you're going to have another phone in. And since it's already Good Friday here and I don't have to be at work, I figured I'll just wait up and see if I get through.
All right. Well, you did, and you have. Congratulations. And happy Good Friday to you.
This is wonderful.
So what do you want to talk about?
I was going to talk about, we're going to talk about our team and our situation at the moment.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you a question. Do you think that part of this might be just a little bit sort of entitled? Like, if you look at, okay, we're not having a good season. But if you look at it in terms of, like, raw numbers, for the first time in two decades, we're only going to finish above another 14 teams.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that point of view. I can see that point of view. I guess I will counter that, though, by saying that we have spent an awful lot of money over the last few years on transfer fees. And those transfers were made to make the club, the team, more competitive, to give it a better chance of winning the Premier League or going further in the Champions League. And what seems to have happened is, by spending that money, we've kind of gone backwards. And I think that's where a lot of the issues come from. Because we were always sort of told, wait till 2014 when we can renew the sponsorship deals and the kit deals and we can properly invest in the squad, rather than having to scratch around in sort of mid-shelf, lower-shelf players. You know, and during that time, as I said on the Arscast Extra on Monday, I think people will look back on that time and view finishing in the top four with some of the teams we had and some of the players we had as a real achievement. But I think as well, it's the fact that it is the same season, but just a bit worse, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. I think, like, you know, you can look at things in numbers and stats and breakdowns, but, you know, I think you're right. I think they have spent a lot of money and we've been promised that, you know, things are going to get better and things will change and we'll be a genuine contender. And I think, like you've said a number of times, and I tend to agree with, is that it just comes from the board. Like, I saw a thing on TV here the other night, and I was Daniel Levy, the Tottenham boss, talking about his team and just the passion that he had for the game. And I was like, we're a club, we're a football club. And I mean, I know they're all businesses, I get that.
Yeah.
But it was a football person and someone that was at the top that was genuinely interested in the sport. And I think, you know, a lot of the times, you know, the players get the hit, and they should. If they're not performing, the manager should. I mean, I'm a Wenger fan, but, you know, results, you know, is what you're there for. But, you know, it's that board thing. To hear him talk about the club and what he wanted to do and everything, it's like, God, that's the thing that we need.
Yeah, we don't have it, do we?
No, we don't. And I think the frustrating thing is that, you know, there's a lot of things about, you spoke about it, saying how people should, you know, give up their memberships and, you know, show through, you know, not turning up and don't go to the games and that sort of thing, and that might show people. But the reality is that if, you know, 100 people give up their season tickets, there's another 3,000 on a list waiting for those tickets anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I mean, don't think I've ever said that people should give up their memberships or not go, but...
No, I think, but, like, there's that whole... I shouldn't have said you didn't say that, but it's more people sort of in general saying, well, if we don't go, then that'll show them.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I think it does. I think when it comes right down to it, disinterest is the greatest form of protest that can be made by fans. But what you can't do... you can't do is tell people not to go. You can't say to people, you can't go, you shouldn't go and watch the game of the team that you support, you know, the season ticket you paid for, the club that you love, regardless of how bad things are. But what will happen is, if the football remains bad and if the results remain bad and if the board continue to ignore the concerns of fans the way that they have, then people will stop going, and it's those empty seats that will become an issue. But I think you're absolutely right that it there's something fundamentally missing from the very top of the club, this desire, this ambition. Because what happened was, there was a huge ambition from the old board, regardless of what people think of them now or what they did with their shares, et cetera, et cetera. But to move from Highbury to the Emirates was an extraordinarily ambitious project at a time when, you know, you think back where they had to scrimp and save and get all these loans. And what this other board have done, they've come in, they've inherited this. They've inherited a new stadium. They've inherited a 60,000-seater stadium. They've inherited all this corporate hospitality. They've inherited a football market that provides them with more cash than they really know what to do with. So why would they even think that they have to be in any way ambitious? They can just, they're just there. They've got this thing. So I don't think there's any real desire for the club to do anything other than just exist in the same way that it is right now. There's nobody at the top of this club saying, we have got to be Champions League winners in 5 years. Let's say that's a plan. Yeah. There's nobody saying, we have got to win the Premier League within 2 years. There's nobody saying that to anybody. Like, it's obviously the aim of the manager every season to win the league and to win the Champions League and to win all the competitions that they're in on a very basic level, but there's nobody driving that. There's nobody really behind us driving that. And I think that's something that this club is really badly missing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the issue. And that's why I think a lot of people have hooked in on Wenger, because it's like, how do you get to the board? You can't change the board. No one can change the board. And I think that's the frustrating part, is that we all know that that is where it's coming from, the top, but we have no one. We can't go and buy at those shares. We can't take over as, you know, put anyone on the board. We can't, you know, as a supporter, even as a group of supporters, there's not one supporter group big enough that could affect that sort of change. And I think that's the frustrating part.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right, Troy. Well, listen, good talking to you. Have yourself a very good Friday.
And, you too.
Thanks for the call, man.
No worries. Cheers, man.
Hello.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening to you. Who is this?
My name is David.
Hi, David. Where are you?
I'm in Nigeria.
All right. A lot of Nigerian Arsenal fans out there.
Yeah, we're many.
So what do you want to chat about?
I don't know. What haven't you talked about? What are you interested in talking about that you haven't talked about?
That's a good question. We've talked about Arsene Wenger and Alexis Sanchez and Mesut Ozil and Stan Kroenke and Ivan Gazidis and the board and fans singing at players. So we talked about a lot.
Pretty much everything, or pretty much, yeah. Did you hear about the Neil Sanchez 300,000 deal?
Yeah. What do you think?
I think it's too much, you know.
It's too much money?
Yes, I think it's too much money.
For him or for any player?
For Sanchez.
Do you think?
I mean, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I like Sanchez and everything, but I just feel the club is giving him so much importance. Trust me, he can do a lot more than what he's doing right now.
You think he can play better?
Yeah, I think he can play a whole lot better.
Do you have a theory as to why he's not playing better?
Yeah, I think Sanchez can play a whole lot better. I don't want to sound like all those people that, you know, just complain if he becomes more of a team player. He loses the ball a lot and stuff like that. He's a very good player, but I don't think offering him that much would be the solution to our problems. I think we should go into the market and get a few more players. I've been a Wenger fan all my life. I love Arsene Wenger, but then I think now is the time for him to go because something has to change.
I think you're right. Something has to change. I'm not sure that
something definitely has to change.
I'm not sure that
I don't know who I want. Sorry for interrupting.
That's okay.
I don't know who I want to succeed him. I have no ideas in my mind. He just has to leave.
Yeah.
After this season.
Yeah.
But then I think what would happen is that he would win the FA Cup and then the board would let him stay.
It's possible. It's certainly possible. Yeah. But, you know, it would be great. It would be great if he won the FA Cup and decided that now was a good time. It would be a great thing for him to have a good moment and then leave. I think that would be it. But David,
as he's celebrating the FA Cup victory, he should just pick a microphone and announce to the fans, like, "Yo, guys, I'm leaving," and then everybody would be happy because he won the FA Cup and be happy because he's leaving. And then the world will not come to an end anymore.
Yeah. All right, David. Listen, thank you. The line's a bit bad, so I'm going to take one more call. But thank you for calling in.
All right. I think you should do this more often. I think it's a good idea.
Okay, I will.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Andrew?
Yes. Who's that?
My name's Nick. I'm calling from London.
Hello, Nick. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Am I live?
Yeah, no, you're not live. We are recording, though. So,
okay, there you go.
You are going to be the final caller on this particular show. So, no pressure on to make it brilliant or anything. Just let's have a chat.
Well, I finished work about 10 minutes ago. So I thought I'd be coming to a bit late. I don't think I'd actually get through. So no pressure at all.
No.
I've got two questions actually. One's unrelated to football.
Okay.
And one is, so I'll go with the first one about Arsenal.
Yes.
I don't know if you've covered it yet or not, but it was about the Oxlade-Chamberlain situation, about obviously Liverpool potentially coming in for him with a $35 million bid, which I think sounds a little bit, a little bit glorified, to be honest.
Yeah.
I can imagine they might be interested at the same time, but I just wanted to kind of get your take on it, to think, would that be, you know, would this be about the right time to maybe consider a big money offer for him, considering how many years I don't think he's really, like, truly realised his potential. I know his numbers are pretty good this season. They're actually a lot better, I think, than they have been in the past.
Yeah.
But in the same token, obviously, he was obviously given a bit more time of the role in midfield, even though I don't think that's something that no one's really completely confident in yet, because he did have a little bit of a good run and then he obviously got taken out of the firing line again, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember what game it was that he didn't have a good game. But so just, yeah, my question was, do you think we should probably cash in on him if now's the time? Or maybe if there is the opportunity for him to sign a new contract, do you think he should maybe be given one and then given more of a, kind of a midfield role?
Where exactly he's going to play, I don't know. I find the whole situation really strange because he still is only 23 and he's got his best years as a footballer ahead of him. But there appears to be a real reluctance on the part of the club to give him a new deal. Even though Arsene Wenger said, "I want him to stay, it's vital that he stays. It would be damaging for the club if he left because they've invested so much time in him as a player to get him to the point where he's going to mature." Like, from what we understand, there has been no deal offered to him by Arsenal. His agents let some stuff slip there a few weeks ago. They said that, you know, even if a deal was offered now, you know, they feel sort of affronted by how late it is. It doesn't really show any desire to keep him, and, you know, he would reject that. And I'm pretty sure that the stories about him going to Liverpool, it wouldn't surprise me if Liverpool were interested at all, but I have this suspicion that the story is also a way of trying to put some pressure on Arsenal to make a decision one way or the other. By saying Liverpool wouldn't be put off by a £35 million fee is a way of saying, look, we have this option now because, you know, it's now down to you to put up or shut up in terms of Oxlade-Chamberlain. As far as we can tell, the club have no great desire to keep him. So it's a really strange situation.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. And I think it's also a very odd one that usually when any kind of player at the club, I mean, I can't remember the last time it's really happened where they've started to come up for the last year of their contract. And I don't think he's done so badly that he shouldn't be offered a new deal. But I find it really odd that there's just been so much silence from the club. And now, there's been so much talk about Ozil and Alexis. I know that obviously they're at a, you know, completely different, you know, level of how big stars they are at the club. But obviously, I still think Chamberlain is a brilliant squad player that obviously can come in and do a job, and he's still not, as I said earlier, he hasn't not totally realised his potential, but you can obviously see that it's there and that he has actually made improvements this year. So, yeah, it is a really bizarre situation that they've just not come out and really said anything. And I don't know if the deal is actually on the table or not. I'm not too sure if I've read anything about that.
I don't think it is. And the thing about Oxlade-Chamberlain that strikes me is that, like, if he's 26 now, you go, I don't know if we could offer a guy who's 26 a new long-term contract. But, you know, you could easily give Oxlade-Chamberlain 4 or 5 years, and if in 2 seasons from now he hasn't kicked on in any meaningful way, if he hasn't nailed down a first team place and is not a better player than he is now, you still have the ability to sell a 25-year-old, 26-year-old player halfway through his contract for a very big transfer fee, probably. Well, for a reasonable transfer fee, assuming that, you know, his form doesn't fall out the toilet. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and thanks a lot for that. The other quick question was, I'm going to be going to Barcelona for the first time this summer.
Oh, yeah.
and I just wanted to ask, because I know that you obviously go there pretty much every year, are there any kind of good places to go, any good bars, anything like that you could kind of recommend?
Oh, my goodness.
that's probably not the easiest question.
Where do you even start with that? There are lots of really good places that you can go and you can eat and drink in Barcelona. It's obviously a fantastic city for that, but I think probably the best thing for you to do is to drop me an email. And I've got sort of a list of things that I tend to send people if they go, have you got any tips for Barcelona? So just stay on there. And
I'll the only thing that I do kind of know that I'll be doing will be the Barcelona ground tour, as manically depressing as that might be, especially at the moment with the way things are with us.
It is worth doing. It is definitely worth doing, and there's a lot to see there. Have fun. I'm going myself this summer as well, so I'm looking forward to it. So
brilliant.
All right, well, listen, thanks for the call.
No, thank you, Andrew, and thanks for everything you do. I can't even remember how long I've been listening for now, but keep it up, and I hope to hear a Tony Adams poem this week as well. I'll be quite disappointed if there isn't one at the end of the pod.
So, all right, well, you've given me an idea there.
I hope so.
Well, there you go. My thanks to everybody who called in via Skype or via telephone. Thanks very much indeed for taking the time. And for those of you who didn't get through, it's like completely mental. What happens is my Skype is open and there are just like calls coming through all the time. So when I'm on a call, I can see all these people trying to call through as well. Some people got a bit fed up because I couldn't quite get to their call. So I apologize for that. I did try and get to the people who've been calling the most, but some of them didn't call back. But it's not the most technically fantastic setup. It is what it is, and you can hear me just going hello, and I've got really no idea who's going to be on the other end, but it seemed all right, and I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you enjoyed hearing from other fans a bit as well, because like I said at the start, I just could not face another in-depth discussion about everything that's going on, because nothing has changed since Tuesday, since James and I did the Arscast Extra. So, yeah, there you go. Anyway, we've got a weekend free of football yet again. It's Easter weekend for those of you who celebrate that. Have a great time with your families and friends and whatever it is that you do. James and I will hopefully be here with an Arscast Extra on Tuesday. We might have an issue because James will not be in the country. He's not going to be in the UK, so we've got to try and figure out some Wi-Fi stuff, and hopefully it'll be all right, but we'll do our best to get something out for you on Tuesday. But look, keep an eye on the Twitter, at Arsblog and at Gunnerblog, and we'll keep you up to date on that. So look, have a great weekend, whatever it is you do. Let's hope that some of the results this weekend go our way, whatever that means at this point, and by Monday we might have sorted ourselves out and figured out how to win a football game again. That would be nice. So look, thank you very much indeed, as ever, for listening. I'll catch you on the next one. Until then, cheers, bye-bye.
Hello everyone, Tony Adams here with another poem on the Arscast. Those of you that keep up to breast with all the latest football news will know that I am now the new head coach of Granada. Coincidentally, my favourite model of Ford car. But as great as Spain is, I have to look beyond that for my poem this week. And as we all know, the best poetry comes from Ireland. From Limerick, in fact, and this week's poem goes a little bit like this. An Arsenal man went to Granada. He said to the players, "Oi, try harder." He wasn't a joker, but he signed Rio Coca. And that's my...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Revenge for the Spanish Armada.
Thank you very much.